and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. So to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground. For it is time to seek the Lord till he comes to rain righteousness on you.
Studies on the Sunday, as you know, stand fast in the power of his might. Stand fast in the power of his might. And we're looking at this in Ephesians chapter 6, and we're still looking at verse 12. I'm taking my time with this verse because there is much to look at, to really assimilate and understand with regard to our spiritual warfare and the armour that we wear. But we also need to know what it is that we are warring against. And all of this is very important, and I am taking my time with this. But he wants us to understand our position that we have in warfare. He wants us to understand that we are not wrestling with flesh and blood. And we hear this many, many times, and there are many sermons that are preached on all of this. But to get this from our heads to our hearts, we have to really understand what it is we're up against. And you will never understand this unless you are baptized, filled with the Holy Spirit. I don't even think you will really fully understand this unless you are yielded, you are walking by faith, you are allowing the Lord to work his will in your life, my life, and in the church. In other words, that we walk not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. As we're never really going to understand, because our emotions, our prejudice, self will get in the way. Unless the cross is central in the life of the believer, unless it is our confession each day, because we're told each day to take it up. So if we make it our faith, our confession, our belief, that is what we're doing, that is what we want, before we even get out of bed, then we're going to start to understand that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers, principalities, dominions, and so on. In other words, the self-life is being dealt with. We're dying daily, as the scriptures tell us that we should be. And then we start to begin to understand what this warfare is about. Because the self, that pride, me, is not getting in the way. If it's still about you, or still about me, or whatever, and if it's still about our feelings, our emotions, our hurts, or whatever, Satan uses this to blind you from really understanding and experiencing spiritual warfare. Because you will still have self in the way. And When we enter into spiritual warfare, it is not about yourself. It is not about your problems or what you're going through or your persecutions or your trials. Now, they may be real, but they are nothing to do here when dealing with what the apostle shows us in Ephesians 6 with regard to spiritual warfare. This is on another level, brothers and sisters. And the church has to start growing up into this if she is to triumph in this last battle that we are to have against the forces and powers of darkness. And this is why we preach the deeper life. This is why we preach that we walk by faith and not by sight. This is why we preach about discipleship, that we too are to take up our cross daily and follow him. It is a removal of the self-life. It is you and I standing to one side and allowing God to take over. Because so often Christians, the church, is actually the biggest hindrance. Isn't that a tragedy? Isn't that a tragedy in the 21st century that the Church of Jesus Christ so often can be the biggest hindrance? And yet God is dealing. He has a remnant set apart to himself who desire to be yielded over to God, to get out of the way so that he can work in and through us. To do what? To address the powers of darkness. You see, God is not going to address the powers of darkness through the blood of his Son unless the church gets her act together, unless she starts to believe that she so often is the hindrance to these powers, principalities, dominions being addressed and brought down. We tend to think that God is going to do this for us. He isn't. He's going to do it through you and I, the church. The church has to prepare herself for the final warfare of the last days. And yet she is the biggest hindrance to this, because we've got it in our minds that he's going to avert and go round the church, skip round the church, and he's going to deal with the powers of darkness himself personally. He's not. He dealt with it at Calvary. And there now we take up what Christ achieved and done by divesting the powers of darkness, Satan himself. We now take that up to appropriate and finish the final work. Yet most of us have our heads buried in the sand, just like ostriches. Oh, the Lord won't use me, or he'll do it a different way, or whatever. He isn't going to. This is a wake-up call, brothers and sisters, for us, for FGA, and all of those who are listening. Because God is meaning business with us, and this is why I'm taking my time with this, so that we can get this dropping from our heads to our hearts with regard to the warfare we are in these last days. That we're not up against flesh and blood, but against these powers, principalities, and so on. I've been spending quite some time about all of this, and I can't go over this again, but you'll find it on our website. You can listen to the rest of the teachings that I've given, because I do need to move on with this. But we're calling this Stand Fast in the Power of His Might, and we're looking at verse 12, and it says, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places." So with our warfare, we have to first see that we are fighting actually with the enemy, Satan. That is who the church is up against. I have already said Christ has dealt with him, his rulership, his authority that he had. He has dealt with him. He has divested him. He has weakened him. Now we are to appropriate the bringing in of the kingdom of God, where Jesus is going to come to rule and reign upon the earth and with his saints. This is why we believe in the greater works. This is why we believe we are being restored back under apostolic faith and anointing, for this to be appropriated. The enemy over the centuries has worked to try and divide the body of Christ, and to a certain extent it looks as though he succeeded. But we have found through the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the promise that would come in the latter days, God is now drawing out a remnant, restoring, bringing them back under his headship for the final battle to be accomplished. And we cannot be asleep with regard to this. Why is God doing this? Because of sin and rebellion in the heavens and the fall of man. You see, sin, rebellion, was first before man. It was in the heavens. And you know this, where Satan, who thought he could be God, raised up in his pride and immediately fell. And a third of the angels fell with him also. So there is where rebellion, sin starts. And then, of course, we know the story, don't we, where God created the heavens and the earth and planted the man and the woman in the garden. And we know what happened there. They fell from their position. They were deceived and they allowed the enemy to trick them. And the enemy then took up that position of being God of this world. And he still is the God of this world, until finally he is put down. But he has lost so much of his power. And we need to keep focus on that. We have been given the greatest weapon against him, and that is the name of Jesus and the blood of Jesus. And sadly, the Christian church needs again to have a revelation and teaching with regard to the blood of Jesus and what is in the blood of the Lamb. Because the scriptures tell us that is how we overcome in these last days. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of our testimony, love not our lives, even unto death. So we keep that fully focused in mind when we start to move on to the fact that we are now in a wrestling time. We wrestle. The church is to wrestle. She is in warfare. And this is why we cannot keep getting caught up with ourselves, our problems, my wants, my needs, and so forth. This is why the cross has to be introduced in the life of the believer for many purposes, but also that she starts to learn that you are in a wrestling, you are in a warfare. Every day we are in a warfare. To the powers of darkness, to Satan, we the Christians are actually the predators. We are the enemy to his kingdom. That is how deceived the world is. And that's why it tries to get rid of Christianity and martyr the Christians. And of course, church history is filled with that, because we are the predators. That's how deceived the world is. So we're up against these forces, these lies, and so on. So that is the position as overcomers we find ourselves. We are in a wrestling. Now this can be won or lost. And Christ has won this for us. And I want you to understand what your armour is. We have a responsibility with this armour. We have a will that we put that armour on, because not God never goes against our will. He never forces us. But what really is this armour? Is it what I achieved? Is it what I can do? Does it come because of my good works? Because I'm devout, I pray, I believe upon the Lord, I'm a disciple of Christ? No. We get the clue to this in the book of Isaiah. Isaiah 59. Chapter 59. And verses 16 to 20. And this, of course, is dealing where Israel, man, is separated from God because of sin. And we take it up where it shows that there will come a Redeemer out of Zion. He saw that there was no man and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore his own arm brought salvation for him, and his own righteousness is sustained him. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate, and a helmet of salvation on his head. He put on the garment of vengeance for clothing, and was clad with zeal as a cloak. According to their deeds, accordingly he will repay fury to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies, and coastlands he will fully repay. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. The Redeemer will come to Zion, and to those who turn from transgression to Jacob, says the Lord. There is the understanding. There is the source. It says very clearly, doesn't it? When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. In other words, the armor that is upon Jesus, divested upon him. He's the only one who can and will stood in the gap for us. There was no one else. God took the initiative. So we get the understanding of what this armor is. It is Christ in you, the hope of glory. He is your armor. He is your deliverer. When we talk about putting on the armour of God, yes, that is your will in operation. That is what you desire, what you want. But initially, this armour is the armour that Jesus wore, triumphing over the powers of darkness. And when you get that understanding of this, then you will not fear. You will not run away. You will begin to understand what this armor is about. This is Christ in me. This is his armor. It comes from him. He is the root. He is the source. I simply believe upon him and receive the blessings from him. And so on. That is what salvation is about. Here it reveals in Isaiah the pre-incarnate Christ, who is to come, who is to redeem, who is to win the battle. This is why it says in Romans 8:37 that we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. We conquer every time. Every battle that we face, we have already won the victory. Why? Because he is our armor. He lives in me. And we need to understand this, brothers and sisters, and then this stops this working, this trying to overcome, this trying to beat the devil, and so on. Yes, we are in a wrestle. But so often the enemy defeats you by his lies. He defeats you because he says you are losing the battle. You see, you can't win it. Well, no, you can't. There's nothing new in that. But the one who lives in you has overcome. Therefore, you overcome. He conquered and triumphed over Satan at Calvary. Therefore, you do as well. And all the Lord has ever asked is just to believe that mustard seed of faith. Don't try and work it out. Don't try and work it out how we war against these powers, these principalities. That's not for us to know. But what he wants us to know is the one whom is within us, who's overcome all of this. That he does want you to know. Because it's not by might nor by power, it is by his Spirit, says the Lord. So we're in a battle and we wrestle. Now the problem is if you are ignorant of this or you turn your back on this, you probably are losing the battle. And that's the problem. And that's why Christians turn back. And that's why they have problems, and they're having problems because they're losing this battle. They don't understand. And the reason they don't understand, because they still are trying to do it in their own strength. And you fail. The Lord sets a standard against the enemy. And that standard is accomplished by believing. By yielding to the Spirit. And allowing him to do it in and through you. This is why prayer is important to the church. This is why Jesus said, my house is a house of prayer. Because much is accomplished in our wrestling as we get into prayer. And the power, of course, lies behind it when it's corporal prayer. So the enemy's all the while there, isn't he? Trying to work, trying to weaken us, trying to separate us, trying to get us to run away, trying to get us to be inward looking. Oh, look at me, poor me. I can't overcome. I don't understand. Of course we don't. How can we understand these things with our own natural carnal mind? You can't. You will be defeated. That is why we put on the mind of Christ. This is why our minds are being renewed by the Spirit. Our minds are like computers. So much wrong information was put into the computer. Poisoned. And he's got to get it all out. Because if you don't, it keeps coming up, it keeps regurgitating, keeps coming up over and over and over again. The same old thing. So our minds have to be renewed. You have to get rid of the wrong information. Like, as I said, with regard to computers. There's a great similarity to this. Now, of course, we don't assimilate and understand everything straight away. Even today, as we come into the room, we're teaching, we're learning about this. We're getting this deliverance, this change in our mind and thinking. That is why It's so important that we have the anointing, the unction of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit teaching us, because it's revelation. And the reason being is the anointing is to get rid of wrong things in our mind. This is why I always say the deeper life, when it was given to us, is in nature deliverance to us. From what? Wrong thinking, wrong attitudes, wrong understanding. And there's no finer way of getting deliverance in that area is when you have surrendered the self-life up. When you have let go and let God take over. That's the biggest deliverance. And there's nothing wrong to admit that you got it wrong. You thought differently, but now I see. That's why he humbles us. For that very purpose, to give up wrong thinking. This is why the proud, the arrogant, the intellectuals, the people of this world cannot understand. They don't understand the word of God. And never will. And this is where the enemy is having to let go of his hold over our lives. And that is why we pray one for another. This is why we pray for the church, for our fellowship. This is why we pray and intercede for the purity of God's word that we receive each week. This is all part of deliverance. This is all part of dealing with these powers, principalities and so on. We can't see what's going on, but there's far, far more than we ever realise. And this is why many Christians are not equipped, because they walk in the flesh. And this is one of the big problems. They're still worldly, they're fleshly, and so on. And little wonder there's such little discernment. As it says in 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 to 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 and 4. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God, for pulling down strongholds. And then it goes on, casting down arguments or these things in the imagination that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity, the obedience of Christ. You see, it's obedience where we win the battles. And that is what God is doing with us. He's working with us to obey. Not to question him, to argue, to run away, or whatever, but to stay in there. Because that is how you win the battles, by staying, standing firm. And that is what we do as believers. We stay, we stand firm. And we watch the salvation of the Lord. By your standing, you see that standard set against the enemy. That is how the Christian church will hand back to the Lord and bring Satan down and his demonic forces, by standing firm and watching the salvation of the Lord fearlessly. That is how it's going to be done. So God's beginning to show us how this final battle is going to be done. And it's nothing of our efforts. It's nothing of our achievements. It's nothing to do with our education, our background, our creed, our colour, or whatever. It is saints standing in Christ, resolute, with that armour, watching the salvation of the Lord, accomplishing and putting down the powers of darkness. That is how he's decreed this. He could do this on his own, but he doesn't do anything outside the Christian church. That is why he's head over the church. And we need to learn and have a greater revelation of the headship of Christ that is over us. Because when we're fully fixed looking to him, there is nothing else to look to. Certainly not self. Well, principalities. Interesting term. But we get a catalogue of things there with regard to what we're dealing with. Principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness, and so on. Spiritual hosts, wickedness in heavenly places. So what is Paul referring to? What are we dealing with here? Well, God does want us to understand. He wants us to know what it is that we're warring against. He gives us certain insight. He doesn't leave us totally ignorant as to what it is we're dealing with. But Paul reveals the powers of darkness and how they operate on different levels. And they have different ranks and positions. But they have one goal, the same goal, whatever rank or position that they have, and that is to knock the Christian down. That is their goal. I already showed you a few weeks back, this armour that we put on is no good if you're knocked down. It will not work because it's quite heavy. And you probably have a job trying to get up. And the time you try and get up, you're finished. The enemy's had you. So their aim is to knock you down. Whatever rank or position they have. Now, the idea of principality, well, firstly, our understanding of a principality is something of a sovereign state, or it can be a prince, or even a princess. It's a monarch. And we know in our world today that there are certain principalities, Monaco, Liechtenstein or Andorra, just to name a few. These are regarded today as principalities. They can be a principality within a state or within a country. It's not so much a country, it is something within a country or whatever. Very interestingly, in my studies here, back in 13th century, the north of Wales was regarded then as a principality, which might tell us something today about Wales and the Welsh. That's just something to think about. But getting back to this, we're dealing with the rank of principality. A principality is a power over a certain place. I'm reminded of Daniel, we know very well, who fasted for 21 days, who was wrestling against the prince of Persia. That was a principality. And it took a long time. It took prayer, it took fasting. And that is why sometimes the church or individually we may be led to pray and fast for a season because we're up against something that is stronger, that has to be dealt with, that has to be bound. Again, the Holy Spirit leads and guides us in the ways that we are to pray and appropriate. The Lord doesn't always reveal what we're up against, but they are all spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. And they're under the leadership of Satan, and principalities cannot keep us even from the salvation of the Lord. They cannot stop us from yielding to Him, walking with Him. Nothing separates us from the love of God, not even principality, power, or dominion. So firstly, we need to see that these principalities cannot separate me from God. You need to get that one from your head to your heart. Ephesians 1, verse 20, 21. Ephesians chapter 1, 20, 21. Which He works in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at the right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality, power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And He put all things under His feet and gave Him to be head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all. Who did He give? It was given to Christ over principalities, all authority. And that is why the Christian church will and does overcome and deal with principalities through the power that is given through Jesus Christ. I know that may sound obvious, but sometimes we can lose sight of this, because the enemy is trying to get you to retract. He's trying to knock you over. And many times he'll try and do it through fear. We take it even a step further, because Colossians, the book of Colossians, chapter 1, verse 16, Colossians tells us who made these powers and principalities. Verse 16, for by Him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through Him and for Him. Period. He has complete, utter dominion. In the heavenlies, the good angels, the archangels, everything, and also the angels that fell, and Satan himself, he still has dominion over all of it. I'm showing you this because this is the position of our warfare. So he created these powers. Let's look in chapter 2, verse 10. Chapter 2, verse 10. And you are complete in Him who is the head of all principality and power. He's trying to tell us something, brothers and sisters. We are complete in Him. In other words, we have His provision. We are equipped. We're over-equipped, if anything. We're over-resourced. We have even more than we'll ever actually need to overcome principality and power. Praise God. Hallelujah. You see, some interpret these powers as despots, governments, politics, religion. They're not. They're simply the result of the corruption that is upon the earth. But you see, we're told what the battle is and what it's against. It's not against flesh and blood, which those things are. It is spiritual. So we have to look beyond the things of the world. We have to look beyond politics, religion, government, and all the confusion that's going on. And sadly, so many Christians are involved in all these political things. And the devil laughs at them because they cannot see our warfare is not with that. It's spiritual. Because the church, so much of it still sadly is carnal. But you are not, brothers and sisters. You are not. You are of another spirit. How do I know? Because you're here today. If you were not of that spirit, you would have already left the room, like sadly so many do. But I rejoice that there is a remnant who hear, not with just their heads, but with their hearts. And this sadly is why so many Christians are deceived, because they're getting involved in all this stuff. So, a principality. In the Hebrew and Greek language, the idea of principality means the beginning or an origin of something. It can be a first person, or it can be a series of leaders. It can also be an order. And Satan, in falling, has set up a government, an order. So he has given them, in his limited power, authority to do their devilish work. But it's limited. And it's certainly more limited since Christ has risen from the dead, dealing with him. The idea of a principality, I've already alluded to this, but it is a prince, or it is a monarch. So that is in many ways what we're dealing with in the spiritual realm in warfare. And it takes the Holy Spirit to reveal all of this. This is why we have the Holy Spirit. This is why he has set the gifts in the church, the supernatural gifts, certainly the gifts of discerning of spirit and revelation gifts, word of knowledge and so forth. These can come as we are in spiritual warfare. Sometimes the Lord will give an understanding what it is we're dealing with, what we're wrestling with. Now, this wrestling is in many ways pushing back the powers of darkness. It's a way of pushing back with strength in our warfare so that God can send his angels to bring healing, deliverance, salvation. Very often in nature, it's for a season, where God can do what he wants to do, because he wants to plant seed into the hearts of men and women. You see, these powers are fundamentally geared, if you like, to stop the salvation of men and women. That is their goal. Satan doesn't want anyone saved. And the salvation that we see, your salvation, is that you are here today because the church and someone prayed for you. There's been a remnant who have stuck with it, who have continued in warfare, praying for the church, praying for their family, praying for their loved ones, praying for you. And for a season, the powers of darkness were pushed back so that seed could be sown in your heart. Hallelujah. These are things that the Lord has revealed to me over the years. They take time to learn, to understand, but there are certain things that we learn. And that is why I said we are in a wrestling match to win. We know the one who will finally put Satan down and his demonic forces, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. But he will do this with his bride by his side. We do it together. The bride is being prepared for marriage, and marriage is about two who work together, not divided. So she is very much at his side when Satan is finally put down. She is by his side when we come and we return to the earth, and there for 1,000 years man is being brought back, taught the word, the presence and the ways of the Lord. She is there with him, working with him. This is why we cannot be separated from this, brothers and sisters. And so, as I bring this to a close this week, do not fear, do not have any concern, because the Holy Spirit will reveal this to us at the right time and when we're ready, and we're in that place to deal with further strongholds. And indeed we are. Now, very often, principalities, like all things, they have a sign. They have a point of contact. It was interesting as I was preparing this, because I suddenly thought to myself, we have a principality in many ways. We have it in our royalty. Prince Charles has his own estate. It's called the duchy. And he has his own emblem, the sign. And in many ways, that is a principality within the monarch. And so we are going to be shown what are the signs, what are the contacts, is the power going through a person, a prince or a princess, are they the point of contact? Or whatever it is, because you can find the Holy Spirit will lead you to war against that person. Like most things, where there is power, there is control, you are also dealing with money. The love of money, the root of all evil. And where there is much money, there is power. So one can find, as the Lord leads, you can war against the finances, weaken them. That is just one way. There are many, many other ways where we can start to become specific by the Holy Spirit as he leads and guides for a season in warfare. The Lord has had me many times in warfare for a season, praying over finances, over wicked tyrants or governments, weakening so that they can no longer control or afford to pay for that power. But again, the Holy Spirit reveals these things. Or we know that in the spirit realm, Satan very often uses points of contact. We know with regard to religions, where there are strong religious forces, They have signs. They have a point of contact. There is something that God shows that the powers of darkness have a hold on. We'll go into a lot of that as we look at this more and more. But when the Lord shows this, he's showing it for a reason, that we can break the spiritual contact of this. Now, this is news and revelation for Christians, and we should certainly know this, because if I was addressing this now to witches, those are involved in the occult, they would say, well, what is new about that? We've known about that for centuries. And yet believers don't. Why don't they? Because their heads are buried in the sand. It is time to wake up. And the Lord will reveal these things as we are prepared to take them on, as we are prepared to enter into this wrestling. But never enter into this wrestling unless you see the victory has already been won. Because that's what keeps us positive. That's what keeps us in faith, believing, confessing, triumphing, overcoming. That is what keeps us winning the battle. Remember last time I showed that the men helped to keep Moses' arms lifted while the battle was being fought. And every time his hands tarred and went down, they started to lose. So God is our strength, our shield. He is our all. He is the one who is going to strengthen and keep our hands up so that the battle can continue until it is finally finished and won. Not by might, nor by power, by my spirit. Satan knows he's lost. He knows where he's going. He is angry, he is defiant, and he is rebellion. He's always been that. That is his nature. And we're finished with John 8:44. John chapter 8 and verse 44. You are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. So he always has been. Even before he was created, God knew all things. God knew what he was going to do. God could have stopped him, but he didn't. Why? Because we all have a free will. And what was his problem? Here it is. He speaks from his own resources. In other words, he speaks from himself what he wants and not what God wants. And that's the trouble. That is the problem with the world. That is why the world is so in love with themselves. Selfish. Me. I call it the eye disease. The self disease. But God has come to deliver us from that curse. That we now are set free. And we can now see the bigger picture. And our eyes can be brought back looking to the Lord Jesus Christ, who has won, who has defeated the enemy at the cross. All we're to do now is to appropriate the victory that always has been in God's time. Praise God. Father, we thank you for encouraging us. Thank you, Lord, that You are the victor. You have won the victory. It all lies in you. And all you've asked us is to keep our eyes firmly fixed on you, seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And Lord, when we find that we are entering into these wrestlings, whether individually or corporately, let us always have that knowledge, that understanding that the battle is already won. Whatever it looks like, however you feel, there are times when it looks as though we're losing that battle, we're going under, but you're even there to preserve, protect us and save us. We cannot lose, Lord. And above all, Father, as we are learning through these teachings, help us to appropriate this. Help us not to run away, but just to stand fast, resolute, in the faith, and watch as you work. So, Lord, I pray you'll be with my brothers and sisters. Be with them, bless, preserve, and keep them. Keep them in the faith. Keep them from the evil one, from temptation. Keep them above all from self. May they know that cross that they too are to take up daily and follow you. May they experience the power of the cross, its death, its resurrection, working daily in their lives. I thank you, Lord, for our fellowship. I thank you that you've opened our ears and our eyes and our hearts. Lord, there is nothing that we have done to deserve this. We will never fully understand how it is that we can be here listening to this, being encouraged, helped, being nourished spiritually. Lord, it is our desire to share the love of Christ, the good news of the gospel. Father, it's not about works, it's not about being good, it's not about giving up certain sins. Our message is a message where you become a new nature, where it is sin dealt with, first and foremost. Father, there is so much psychology today with regard to salvation in the Christian church. May we not be caught up with all of that. Only you can make us a new creation. You dealt with sin, period, first and foremost. And you have restored us back in covenant and fellowship with you. And so may our fellowship not only be with you, but each of us, sharing, praying, interceding for each other.
The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. The statutes of the rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey. to be.